So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll talk about that a little bit more today. We're going to talk about a couple of examples in our culture of a power searches, power quests, and those power prayers as guided by the Spirit of God in the Word of God in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 14 and following. We said last week that if we really want more power, spiritual power, the power that makes all the difference, it makes the greatest difference, we need to get to know the right God. Amen? We need to get to know the right God. That is the secret to power. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3, "For this reason," Paul writes, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." We said that it's this power quest for this God that results in a true power prayer. We can pray for this reason. We can pray because of the grace of God. Amen? That we could never earn, we could never deserve, because of the grace of God, we can know this God and pray this prayer for power. For this reason, and we can pray to the Creator, amen? That's what it says. "From whom every family in heaven and earth is named, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, the one who guarantees, because we're made in His image, that human rights and human dignity and human value are real and legitimate." Because if all we've really got is not this God, but time and chance and Darwin and naturalism and might makes right, then there's no human dignity or value unless this God exists. Amen? And the God who created it all from nothing is the God we need to get to know better. "That according to the riches of his glory," as we get to know this God, our power prayer will draw from the right account. Amen? You got to have an account to draw the power from. He says that according to the riches of his glory. We're not drawing from our own puny account. We're drawing from his unlimited account. Amen? His riches. His glorious riches. Psalm 50 says that this God owns the cattle on how many hills? 1,000 hills. It's all his. Everything is his. Everything's his. His riches make all the rest of the riches of the world look like paupers. God's riches makes Michael Bloomberg look like a pauper. God's riches trumps Trump. Glory to God. Guided by the right spirit also. You see that? "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit." The right spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The spirit of which Zechariah writes, and he says in chapter 4, verse 6, "Not by human might, not by human power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." That's the spirit of power. Amen? That's the spirit of power. The spirit that Pastor Sean preached on so beautifully a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians 5. Don't be drunk, controlled, enslaved by wine, which is dissipation. It's incorrigibility. Asotia. Which leaves you uncontrolled and unable to be reasoned with. Rather, be filled, be guided, be empowered, be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's power. And he says in the evidence of the filling there, as Sean said in that message, then we will have relationships that are empowered, speaking to one another in the context of our faith in Christ. Will be strengthened in relationships. How many think power is needed in relationships? Anybody? Only those that have never had a relationship. Power is needed in every relationship. Worshiping God, also in Ephesians 5. We will have power to worship the way that God wants to be recognized. Amen. Giving thanks for all things. We'll have the power to thank God. Somebody says, that doesn't seem like such a great power. Are you kidding me? The power to be thankful? The power to be thankful is one of the greatest powers of all. The Lord says in Romans 1, one of the greatest, sadly, anti-qualities of a human race that rejects Christ and the gospel is that knowing God, they were not thankful to God. Thanksgiving takes power. And then he says there, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Literally, preferring other people before you prefer yourself. Putting your wife as a husband before yourself. Putting your husband as a wife before yourself. Did I say the same thing twice? Or did I say, yeah, okay. You know what I mean. Husbands are looking at me. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Wives as well, right? Putting your children first. Putting your friends, your co-workers, your brothers and sisters in Christ first. You don't think that takes power? That's the greatest power of all, to prefer other people. So it's by this Spirit, amen? This Spirit. And focus on the right target. Do you see that? That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your what? In your inner being. In your inner person, where it really, really counts. Where it really counts. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may the God of peace Himself now sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body. That is, He's going to transform us where it really counts. In our spirit, where our spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit, where we have communion with God in our spirit, in the area of our God consciousness. He is going to empower us in that area. And in our soul, he says. Our soul is the ego. It's the self-awareness, the self-consciousness. Now, my self-awareness and consciousness is going to be submitted to the worship of God and my consciousness of God. And finally, I'm going to be right with myself. And now my ego, my mind, my mental acuity is going to be transformed and my heart is going to be set free. My conscience is going to be sensitized. My will, my volition is going to be surrendered to a greater one than me. Now that is power. Amen? That is power. That's a power prayer. Change me like that, Lord. People will notice that one. Big time. Big time. How many have heard the name Ashley Smith? That's not an uncommon name, I guess, Ashley Smith. How about this? How many remember an incident in Atlanta a few years ago where a young man who was being accused of a sexual assault was brought to prison? He overpowered a prison guard and he killed the judge, he killed the bailiff, he killed a couple of police officers. Anybody remember that at all? Wow. You know, I asked the first service too, and nobody knew that. I thought, wow. A few of you did. Well, it was horrific, horrific. And then he escaped from the prison, or from the courthouse, after killing four people. And that night, as in his attempt to hide out, he abducted this young woman named Ashley Smith. He abducted her and held her hostage in her apartment. Now, is this sort of coming to you now a little bit now? Yeah. And Ashley Smith was a young woman who'd been introduced to the gospel but had not really been serious about it. She had suffered a lot in her life. She was a meth addict. She'd lost her child, her daughter, because of her drug addiction. Her husband had been killed in a drug deal. So she'd seen life at its worst. And she was abducted that night by this individual in her own apartment, thinking she was going to be assaulted and thinking that she was going to be killed. And what is interesting is a friend of hers, in witnessing to her, had given her a copy of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It's really a wonderful book. And she had that book in the house when she was abducted. And at a moment when he was quiet, sitting in the other room, she took out her book and she began to read it again. She'd only been reading it for a couple days. He saw her reading it and asked her, "What are you reading?" And she said, "The Purpose-Driven Life." He said, "Read a little bit to me." So she began to read this book. It's just an amazing story. That you and I, she said to the guy, we have a purpose, God says. And that purpose is greater than ourselves. It's greater than our own well-being, our own happiness. It's a purpose greater than that to worship God and to know God and to be used by God to make a difference in other people's lives and to impact other people and to make the world a better place for our children as well. And this young man had a son. She had a daughter. And as she read some of it, he was thoughtful as he heard it. And it began to impact her deeply as well. By God's grace, eventually she was allowed to leave by him, and he then gave himself up, and he's now serving a life term for the murders without any possibility of parole. So we'll continue to pray that that witness of the gospel will impact this man in Atlanta. But what's interesting and what brought it back to my mind to use it in this message is the power that she found that night in this God, amen, in his spirit and in the riches of his glory and power and purpose. She found this power, an amazing thing. This God empowered her, this gospel empowered her heart, her mind, her spirit, her will, made a difference at a time when she thought she was going to be killed. That's why verse 16 hits me so good, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Ashley understood that night. She experienced that night. Now, what's happened is interesting. This event has now been made into a major Hollywood motion picture. And I didn't know that. But then as the pastor at Calvary, I got an invitation to bring my wife to preview the film, as they often do, down in Times Square just a few days ago. The movie opens in the middle to late September, I believe, for the general public. But as a person with a church, they wanted me to see the movie, obviously. And I am telling you, and you know I don't recommend everything, it is an amazing movie. It's superb. And it moves you powerfully. The gospel is given in a very sort of sensitive, understated way. But the presence of this God and this purpose in her life is very powerful. And so I encourage you to see it. It's not for children. Teenagers could see it, but it's not for children for sure. But I would encourage you to see it. It might be a bridge to a friend to share the gospel with them as well. Also encourage you to read the book that she wrote, which is called The Unlikely Angel. The Unlikely Angel. That how God used her as a witness to him in the middle of that situation. Very powerful stuff. So Ashley that night began to know the right God, this God, which is the secret to power, amen? It's about knowing the right God, and it's about asking for the right stuff. That's a power prayer. It's simple, amen? Get to know the right God and ask him for the right stuff. That's a power prayer. That's a power quest that we have today. You see verse 17? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. A power prayer asks for faith. Faith, Lord. As I seek to know you, this God, give me faith. Strengthen my faith. And of course, faith is, first of all, the willingness to hear what God has to say. And then hearing it, understanding it. And understanding it assenting to it, saying, yeah. And then hearing, understanding, and assenting. So trust him, right? Trust him. And then the trust is exhibited in what? In obedience. So when we say, may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, what he's saying is, as your faith grows, your desire to hear God will grow. Your desire and your ability to understand God will grow. Your excitement about saying amen to God will grow. Your excitement about trusting this God will grow. Your desire to obey this God will grow. That is powerful faith. Ashley had all of that happen that night. Hearing, understanding, amening, trusting, obeying, amen? How quickly it can come if we trust him for that. Glory to God. So ask for the right stuff. Ask for faith. Look at verse 18. That you may have strength to what? Comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he says in the power prayer, when you ask for faith, always ask for love. If you can only ask for two things, ask for faith and ask for love. Ask for the ability to trust God and then to love him and to love other people. He said that's the whole Christian life right there. Amen? That's the whole Christian life. Faith and love. Faith and love. Trusting him, loving others. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Experiencing the love of Christ. Now, faith is interesting. And as we close over this next 10 or 15 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about this faith in Christ shed abroad in our hearts. This is the year now that, beginning after Labor Day here at Calvary, our theme as a church for this coming year is courageous faith. That we as a congregation, individually and as a family, can trust God with courageous faith. Whatever God leads us to do or not to do, whatever ministries God leads us to, that we can see our faith grow courageously so that we're willing to trust him in whatever area of ministry he says, expand that, go there. Whatever he wants, we want to do that. Whatever that faith is. And so turn over to, you can leave Ephesians for a moment. We'll come back to that next time as we begin to close, but it's going to be 10 or 15 minutes yet. But turn over with me to Hebrews 11, a couple books over. As we talk about may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, this is going to be the year of courageous faith that we're going to ask God to bless us mightily here. And so we read about faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. It's the conviction or the evidence of things we don't see. That is, you can't always see the God you're trusting in, amen? But he'll give a conviction, an assurance about what his will is for us. For by this faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, Abel, though he died, he still speaks. His legacy of faith still speaks. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken up so that he should not see death, he was not found because God had taken him up. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. How cool is that? Tell me about Enoch. Well, his whole life he pleased God, and then he didn't have to die. That's pretty cool, huh? If he had a tombstone and he didn't, it would have said, I please God and I'm not here, but I just wanted to have something to write this on. And I didn't die, right? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists. You know, God wants us to believe that he exists. I mean, his grace is there even if we don't believe. He offers us grace even if we don't believe. But you can understand that God could take atheism a little bit personally, you know. You know, saying he doesn't exist. Thank God he stays gracious. I'm not sure we would if we were God. Amen. Thank God we're not God. Or you think the world's messed up now? Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that God rewards those who what? Who seek him. They go on God quests. They go on power quests. They pray power prayers. God honors that. Amen? He honors the search for the power that really makes a difference. It's his kingdom and not ours. His glory and not ours. His will and not ours. He loves that. May that be true of our church this year, no matter what we face together. Amen? So we're to ask for this faith, ask for the right stuff. Now, I want to thank you all for your prayers for myself, my wife, and our family over these last 2 weeks. In the death of my brother-in-law, Frank. I rarely mention my sister or my brother-in-law openly. Those of you that have been with me 18 years here, I may have mentioned 3 or 4 times in 18 years because of a situation that arose that got in the papers or was some issue or something. But my brother-in-law passed away about 2 weeks ago, Frank Gifford, who was a New Yorker. And although born in California, but played for the Giants, was a Hall of Fame football player, and so forth. But he passed away, and my brother-in-law is a wonderful guy. He was 85 years old, so he lived a long time. Amen. He lived a long time, and he lived a full life. I enjoyed his friendship for almost 30 years. Married to my sister for 29 years, Kathy, and. He had a very generous heart, very generous heart. And he was a great father, a wonderful father to Cody and Cassidy, my nephew and niece. And, of course, a New York Giant, okay? So the Giants are going to wear his number on their helmets this year. Yeah. After seeing him play last night so badly, they're going to need more than his number on their helmets this year, I can tell you. And Frank would get a kick out of that, believe me. But in spending a few days with my family in Connecticut and in Maryland over 4 days, I was so proud of my sister and my nephew and niece for their witness for Christ. I don't know if any of you saw my sister's program the day she came back. Anybody see that, the day she came back? Quite a few. Was an amazing witness. It was typically her witness. She helped pray me into the kingdom for years. It was a winsome witness. It was loving. It was sensitive. But it also shared her hope, her faith in Christ without apology. And it impacted a lot of people, which I'm grateful for that. She gave a beautiful testimony of God's love in Jesus Christ. It was from the heart, as she always does. I heard later, and I told her how proud I was of her, that she showed it and shared it so lovingly. 9 million people saw the program. 9 million people heard her witness on that one program. And then responded with 19 million entries on social media. 19 million. And so I shared with her as I prayed for her that I loved her and that I was very proud of her loving and also bold witness for him. So God has a reason for everything, right? Her faith was seen. My nephew and niece's faith was seen as we shared that all together. And then she also shared, and this is interesting, and I want to close with this. You can turn in the Word of God to 1 Samuel 17. We'll take maybe 10 more minutes, and then we'll finish up there. She also shared about Frank's favorite Bible verses. And that was, as you would expect, it was a story about a giant. This was a very bad giant. His favorite story from the time he was a kid, when he heard the gospel, his mother was a believer when he gave his life to the Lord as a child during the Depression out in California. His favorite story was always David and Goliath, and he would say that to us. Love that story. And Kathy shared the fact that what touches her about the story of David and Goliath as David faced off with this giant was the fact that David didn't really win this fight because of his physical prowess. David was just a young guy, right? He was not a professional soldier. He was not a hitman. He was just a kid. This guy was a mountain of a man, and he was a trained killer. So you know when Vegas gave the line on this, Goliath was the prohibitive favorite. Vegas was going to take a big bath on this one, big time, right? He didn't win this by his physical prowess. He won this battle by faith in the God who makes Goliath look puny. This was the victory of faith in this God. And this is what real faith, like Ashley's faith and David's faith, looks like. And so we begin reading in verse 37. Oh, I got to go there first. Takes a while. It's a, 3,000-year trip to go back there. Right? 1 Samuel 17. David is talking to Saul. And he's saying, you got to let me fight this guy. You know, come on, coach, let me go. Let me up. Let me get out there. He says, verse 36, your servant has struck down lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. He's defied the armies of the living God. I think that's one reason Frank liked this story. You know, David says, I've fought the lions and the bears, right? I played against the lions. I played against the bears. Right? And David says, I played against these animals. And God delivered them to me. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. He has defied, he's blasphemed the armies of the what? The living God. David said, let me go. I want this guy so bad I could taste him. Let me have him. He's blasphemed the living God. My God is alive. I don't know about the God of these other guys in the Israeli army that are afraid. I don't know where their God is. But I know that my God is alive. He's alive. You see, faith is in that God. That God. God was more real to David than Goliath was to David. God was more real to David even as the armies of Israel were afraid. You don't often hear the army of Israel being afraid. He's alive, amen? That's living faith. And then David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David said, my living God is personal. He's been with me before. He's delivered me and the sheep before. He will do it again. He's personal. Oh, yeah, he's transcendent. He's mighty. He's awesome. He's beyond me, but he's also with me. He's also here. He's here now. He's immanent as well as transcendent. This is faith. My living God is with me personally. And just like he kept his promises before, he'll keep his promise now. So let me go. Give me this guy. You see, that's his faith. So Saul said, go and the Lord be with you. Absolutely. If this is the Lord that's going to be with you, go. Get it on. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he'd not tested them. The armor didn't fit. He's just a kid. Saul's a big guy. Then David said, I can't go with these. I've not tested them. This is ridiculous. I can't even walk in this stuff. So David took it all off, and then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook. This showdown was in the Valley of Elah. They made a movie about this a while back, not about David and Goliath, but about the war in Iraq. Remember the Valley of Elah and all that? But this, of course, is the Valley of Elah in Israel. And the brook there, we were just there a few months ago with a number of us from Calvary, in that very valley, looking at the brook. It's an amazing thing to be in Israel and see that. It's an amazing privilege. And in that brook, he took five smooth stones and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Took five stones. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. This monster of a man, he's got a guy to help him, right? When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. What a word, huh? He disdained him, for he was just a kid. And he was ruddy and handsome in appearance. He was like a Hollywood matinee idol. So he looks at this cute kid, and he just disdains this kid. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, Dagon and other gods. They're all idols. They're dead. The Philistine said to David, come to me, you little punk, you little twit. That's basically what he said. And I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Come to me, you young dummy. I'm going to take you today. I'm going to kill you right here, and they're going to eat you. I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'll tell you, if there's ever a time to get scared and run, it might be right now. And then what I love about this is David doesn't skip a beat. Not even a second. David said to the Philistine Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You come to me with those weapons. I come to you in the name of the mighty God, the God of hosts, the God who's alive, the God who's with me. I come to you. I fight you in his name, he said. He's a mighty God. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He says, big fella, you got it all backwards. Nobody's feeding me to anybody today. You are going down today. This is your last day on earth. The Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. And all the assembly may know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is already the Lord's. And he will give you into our hand. The battle is the Lord's. He's sovereign. This contest is over. It's already been decided. It's all done. Your history, bro. Your history. It ends now. And you can read the rest of it. It ended then. Quick. Faith in this God as he confronted this evil, as we live in evil days and confront evil things in our own city, nation, and the world. that needs the grace of God so much, that needs this God so much, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's faith. Hearing, understanding, assenting to, trusting, obeying this God who's alive, personal, mighty, sovereign. Amen? He has our destiny and purpose in his hands. The purpose-driven God, amen? He has a destiny for Ashley, for you, for me, for my sister, for my niece, my nephew, for each of us. Glory to God. And the last thing that really struck me about my sister in sharing, she was just in Israel with a number of her friends a few months ago as well, and they went there to the same place. We were there with some of our friends from here at Calvary. And she picked up some of these smooth stones in the Valley of Elah and brought them home because she wanted to give them as gifts. So when my niece Cassidy graduated from high school, she gave Cassidy one of these smooth stones. And she said, "Cass, how are you going to throw your stone? What purpose are you going to live for? How are you going to use your gifts that God has given you, your talents, to see God fulfill his destiny in your life?" Amen. How are you going to throw that stone? Not to hurt, but to bless. Amen. And Cody graduated from college, and he gave him a stone. Cody, what about your purpose, your destiny? How are you going to throw your stone? Amen. And for each of us, faith in him means he's going to use us. He's going to use us to stand up for what's good and right and loving and beautiful. And he's going to use us, even as we pour out grace, to confront what's evil and wicked and unrighteous. Amen? That's faith in him. Faith in him. So how about you? How about your stone, your talents, your abilities, your purpose, your destiny? As we get to know this God, amen, and receive this power and say this power prayer and ask for this stuff, let's ask for this faith. And next time, Lord willing, let's ask for this love as well. Amen? In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's amazed, more faithful, and willing to be more loving people, starting with the preacher said, amen. Amen. Wow, I'm out of breath. Okay. Lord, thank you, amen, for this wonderful witness. Amen. Amen. Thank you for this wonderful witness, Lord, with my sister and with Ashley in Atlanta and with us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the only true living God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. May our life be suffused with this faith and love. May our smooth stones be used for good and never for wickedness. And may our destiny be fulfilled, Lord, our purpose be fulfilled. Touch that man or woman still without Christ this morning. Here by divine appointment, may this be the day of their salvation. As they say, like we all must, "Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I repent. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust you now. Forgive me now. May I walk with you and be a new man, a new woman even now." He'll be in your heart before that prayer is even off your lips. Then for us who are believers, who have received your grace, Lord, may our faith grow. May our love grow. May we throw those stones for your goodness and your glory. Fulfill our purpose. Our purpose that goes way beyond our own contentment and well-being and happiness goes to your glory and your kingdom. We'll praise you for this privilege in your wonderful name. Amen.